Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's a story from Valerie Jacobs.
I've been a Garth Brooks fan for about 25 years. I first heard him when my son came home from a visit to Kentucky and put the Thunder Rolls in. And, of course, it was a cassette tape at that time. And it wasn't raining. And I'm like, what is this? And that's when the story started. That's when my journey began. I've seen Garth all around the United States probably about 12 times. I've seen him in Miami when I lived in Boca Raton at the time. I've seen him in Nashville. I've seen him in Kansas City. I've seen him when he played spring training with the New York Mets in Florida. And this past weekend, I saw him in Sunrise, Florida, three nights, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, of course. Thursday night, I was on the side of the arena. Got to see him give his cowboy hat to a little boy who was on his dad's shoulders. And it was an awesome moment. Saturday night, I was on the side of the stage, row 5. I got there a little bit early, and I went down. And there were some of the arena personnel standing by the stage, and I went down. I have a pen that my husband had bought me, some military pens, when I was taking him for some cancer treatments. And he felt such gratitude. My dad was in the Marines, so he had bought me a lot of Marine memorabilia. So I took down this one Marine pen. And I asked the guard, I said, can you give this to Garth? And he says, oh, no, no, no. We can't give him anything. We can't hand him anything. I said, that's okay. I'll get it to him. And they said, well, if you see one of his crew, you could try that. And I said, okay. And I said, yeah, I know they wear the black outfits and they've got the headsets. I'll watch for one. Well, about that time, a gentleman came, was on the front rows talking to some people, and then he headed to the back of the stage. And they said, well, he might be able to get it to Garth for you. His name is Bruce. So he stopped and handed him the pen, and it was on a card. I said, can you please give this to Garth for me? And he said, sure. And he looked at it. So I explained to him. About 7 years ago, the last time I saw Garth at his house in Oklahoma, my dad had passed away 2 weeks before. And my dad was a Marine, and Garth's dad was also a Marine. First thing that he said to me when I told him my dad had died, he said, what about your mom? He hoped my mother was still alive. So I had to tell him that she had also passed away 2 years previously. And, of course, I got my Garth moment then. I got a hug, and he said, well, I don't know when I'll be able to get it to him. And I said, that's fine. I just appreciate you doing this for me. Whenever you get it to him, it's fine. And I told him, my name's Valerie. So he went on. And as the night went on, I had made one sign. The first sign had one column that had Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in a box to be checked off. And I'd already put a big check mark for Thursday because I wanted him to know I was going to be there all three nights. And then I put a result for Thursday night was the best. And then there was a blank for Saturday and Sunday. And he saw that sign early on in the night on Friday night. And he pointed to me, and a guy sitting next to me said, oh, I got a picture of that. Do you want me to send it to you? And I'm like, yes, let me give you my phone number. So as the night went on, when Garth does the dance, that's when he pretends to walk off the stage. Those of us who know that's really where the band goes off. And then he comes back on for his encore with just him and his guitar, which is some of the most beautiful music you'll ever hear. He can make a guitar sing. And he'll look at the signs, and he interacts more with his fans, and he takes requests from the signs. So the back of my sign requested more than a memory. So when he came out, he did a couple of songs down front, and I thought, oh, God, he's not coming back over this way. But he did. So he walked over to the side of the stage, and he pointed to my sign, and he said, that's a good one. I can do that, but I need a help on that one. So I'll come back into this one later. I'm going to do this next one, and then we'll come back to you. So, of course, I got excited, and I told the guy next to me, I said, now when he sings my request, he will stand on the side of the stage and look over here. I said, so get ready to take some good pictures. And so he did the other song. He got the band back on stage, and he started in the middle of the stage. and he started walking towards the edge. And there was a little piece on the side that they'd added onto the stage, but then there was a gap between the side and where the seats on the side started. And as he came to the edge of the stage, I saw him look down, and I thought, oh my God, he's either coming over here or he wants the guards to let me come down to the edge. And I'm freaking, of course. And next thing I know, he was coming up the stairs, and he came into my section, and everybody, of course, is in shock and awe. And he came up, put his arm around me, and hugged me, patted me on the back, and looked at me in the face with a look that said, I remember. So we sang a little bit of the song together, and then he started back down towards the stage. And as he always does, he stops and poses with people so they can take their pictures with him. And he got down to the edge, put his hand on one of the guys in the front row's shoulder so he could stand back up on the edge. And he finishes the songs, and you've got to imagine him standing on this edge of this arena with his arms thrown back, singing For All's Worth. And before he finished, he turned around and he pointed to me, and he gave me this little Garth wave, as we call it, and blew me a kiss and jumped back down and went back onto the stage. So the next night, I was actually on the floor about three rows back. And so that night, my sign said, for the result for Friday night was much more than a memory.
Valerie Jacobs and Karen, may every singer have fans like Valerie Jacobs.
And may every fan have an experience like Valerie Jacobs had. This is a Cinderella story like no other.
Cinderella? She didn't lose a slipper?
No, but she lost her heart long time ago. If Jackson Brown pulled me out of the audience, put his arm around me and sang to me, I think I would tell that story forever. And I love the excitement in Valerie's voice. No matter what you think of Garth Brooks, you hear this story and you feel what she felt. You feel the excitement. This is a universal fan story.
Now I understand how the term fan comes from fanatic.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because she drove from Clewiston to Broward 3 days in a row to hear this concert. And people do that commute for work. People do that commute if somebody in their family is ill. This is somebody who did that commute for her own fantastic pleasure and for a life-changing experience. And I say more power to fans like that. I mean, what is life about? We have so much responsibility in the world. Isn't it nice to do things that are just pleasurable?
And I got to hand it to Garth, too, for treating his fans with such royalty. Out of thousands and thousands of people in the audience, he's able to connect to individuals.
And that is another kind of trope in this story, motif in this story, and that is that there is a real power differential, right? If you think of it in terms of a fairy tale, it would be the king and the servant girl. I don't mean the king as an Elvis either. If we go back to the Cinderella reference, what is the tale type of stories like Cinderella? It is somebody in a low status elevated to a higher status. And in effect, that is what happened here. For a few brief moments, she was in the spotlight with a superstar. And this is, Michael, I don't think I'm making too much to say that the reason Cinderella is so popular, one of the many reasons in our country, is because this archetype, this motif, really jives well with the American dream. Anybody can be a success. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter if you were born into poverty. The American dream, now we have reason to question that in 2016, but in general, it has been that you can be anything you want. And you can even be up there in lights with Garth Brooks.
Karen, thanks for bringing that story in. If our listeners have a story they would like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Or contact us through our website at wlrn.org. Click on radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.